Good morning, everybody. Very unusual time for starting a board meeting. We are going to discuss a topic with great urgency, and we're going to talk about COVID-19 related rent concessions. I give the floor to Catherine.
Thank you, Hans. Hi, everybody. So as Hans says, we are here today not for the first time to discuss COVID-19 related rent concessions. I'm sure the board members will recall that shortly after we last discussed this topic back in May, you issued an amendment to IFRS 16 that provided lessees with an optional practical expedient, enabling them to simplify their accounting for rent concessions. Investors understood the need for relief and they largely supported the amendment. However, they did have a few concerns about the possibility of the practical expedient being applied for longer than it was really needed. So for that and a number of other reasons, the board limited application of the practical expedient to rent concessions that reduce lease payments originally due only before the 30th of June 2021. So we now find ourselves here in February 2021, and I think it's fair to say that we remain in what I might refer to as the height of the pandemic. A number of stakeholders have asked the board to extend the availability of the practical expedient, and in short, we think this is a reasonable request, and we are recommending today that the board extend the availability by 1 year to the 30th of June 2022, and that's for the reasons described in the paper. A few things to highlight. First, in making this recommendation, we are very aware that the board's intention was not to provide relief for every rent concession that will be granted as a result of the pandemic. Instead, the intention was to provide relief when it is needed most. However, given the ongoing severity of the pandemic, we do believe rent concessions currently being granted that extend beyond 30th of June 2021 are consistent with that original intention. Second, the particular date we've recommended. We think June 2022 finds the right balance between providing relief during the height of the pandemic whilst addressing the risk of the practical expedient being applied beyond when it is most needed. We also think this length of extension will avoid any potentially unhelpful perception that the board might make further amendments in future. Third, just to mention that since posting the paper, we have received a bit more feedback from stakeholders beyond that described in the paper, a preparer group and another investor, both of which supported an extension. Finally, I'd like to highlight that if the board decides to amend the practical expedient, then we think it is important to do so quickly. We believe that if the board can make any amendment by the end of March, this would minimise the risk of lessees having to reverse accounting that they have already performed for rent concessions that are not within the scope of the original practical expedient, but would be captured by an extension. So with that in mind, we are asking the board to make a decision based on the information that is available at the moment. We understand that it could be helpful to perform further outreach beyond that reported in the paper, but we believe any delay would limit the benefits of the recommended amendment. That being the case, it's also important for me to highlight that should you vote in favour of an amendment, we are also recommending an unusually short 14-day comment period for an exposure draft. We'll come to due process questions later, but an important point to keep in mind when you're considering the technical recommendations is whether you think stakeholders will have sufficient opportunity to comment on a draft. We are comfortable with 14 days because of the simplicity of the proposed amendment. In short, it would extend only the date of availability of a practical expedient that has already worked well for stakeholders. We're also aware of stakeholder interest in this topic, and we understand that they would be ready and able to respond to an exposure draft within that 14-day window. So with all that said, what we'd like to ask you to do is first discuss the technical recommendations in the paper and vote on questions 1 and 2. Only if you agree with those recommendations will we move on to talk about the subsequent due process questions. So with that, I'll hand back to the board for discussion.
Okay, we open the floor. Who wants to come in? Sue?
Thanks, Hans. I support the staff recommendation. I think that clearly the pandemic is still here. We know based on the letters that we've received from some preparer groups that extensions are being made in the term of the concessions being provided. So the same conditions that caused us to provide the original relief are still in place, at least in some parts of the world. So I support the extension. I also support the extension in the form recommended by the staff, which is sort of simply changing the date rather than introducing some more, sophisticated test, if you like, about whether or not it's just caused by the pandemic. The challenge of that, of course, is that if we get the date wrong, then we need to change the date, which is why we're here today. So I think in terms of sort of efficiency of standard setting, it's really important that the date that we set is, you know, provides the relief we intend, balances the concerns raised by some investors about a limited life, but we're sort of confident that it's at least conservative enough that we're reducing the risk of standard setting. I know that some of the letters we got said that, you know, no less than December this year might have been because they thought that would be the best they'd get out of us. But I'm hoping that a June date is perhaps more realistic and gives us a little bit of wiggle room and reduces the risk of having to do further standard setting. But I think I'd go with a June date, but look very closely at the feedback we get about the evidence of the extensions being offered to just get reassurance on the appropriateness of the particular date chosen. But I'm supportive. Thank you.
Mary?
Thanks, Hans, and thanks, Catherine. I also support the staff recommendation. I think as I look at why we're here and what's being proposed, and I think back to when we made the amendment, certainly the ongoing severity and, I'll pick up popular pseudoscience language, of second wave has been much longer and more severe than we, I'd say, expected, but maybe say hope. And in light of that, I think it's appropriate to basically take the same mindset that we had when we did the original relief modification and say, knowing what we know now, should we extend the date and reach the conclusion of yes? Catherine, I understand and agree with the idea that if we are doing this, we have to do it on an accelerated basis with limited time for consultation. I think it's tremendously helpful, and it was important to me that you were able to speak with some of the users who had contributed to the first to our discussions the first time around. And even though the period is very limited, to the extent possible, I think it would be really helpful if we can hear from any more, especially users of financial statements, about that the balancing we're doing in terms of saying we're just trying to capture a very limited population for a limited period of time, because it's only in those circumstances that we think it's useful to have the impact isolated and presented in P&L. If to the extent that's possible, I think that's probably my number one wish is for a vaccine, receiving a vaccine. My number two wish is to get some further user input during this limited time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Nick?
Thanks, Hans. As staff acknowledge in the paper, users of financial statements don't generally welcome accounting policy choices. You know, clearly, these hamper comparability, they complicate analysis. And if I go back to think about when the board first considered amending IFRS 16 to offer this practical expedient, it was predicated on limiting its use to a very specific timeframe. Now, since then, the board has been asked twice to extend that time frame, once in response to the consultation on the 2020 amendment, and again today. And to me, that time frame is starting to feel more flexible than fixed, I have to say, and given that it's very important for investors that this was limited and fixed, I find it difficult to support the staff recommendation on this occasion. Thank you.
Jen Chow.
Thank you, Hans. I also support staff's recommendation. I think it's providing further practical relief. I think it's really reasonable, because if we're looking at the situation of pandemic worldwide, I think the effects of the pandemic on the entities are in some countries actually is similar, or as we said in the paper, as significant as when we decided to provide amendment to IFRS 16 last year. And accounting issues arising from the rent concessions, and the objective of the of providing further providing you know, relief to the companies, I think exactly the similar or same as last year we did. So I support to provide practical relief to the companies. In relationship to the concerns about the users, particularly about the compatibility concerns, as Nick mentioned just now, and I really appreciate that Catherine did some outreach with investors. I think obviously there will be some concerns about compatibility issues, but with additional disclosure requirement here, I think users can still get enough information, in particular with regard to the transparency of those companies when they apply the practical relief. So I think it should be okay from my point of view. With regarding to the length of the extension, I agree with staff's recommendation to give 1 year extension. I think half year is too short. I think couple of benefits. First is, as the paper said, that we can avoid further request. And secondly, I think the benefit is that we can create some kind of certainty, not only for the board, but also for the stakeholder, including preparers and users as well, regulators as well. So I think it will benefit many stakeholders. I agree with staff's proposal to extend 1 year ahead. And with regarding to the effective date, I agree with also staff's proposal. I hope that we can finalize this amendment as quick as possible, and could make it available for companies as possible as well. For example, actually many preparers actually are busy in preparing 2020 annual report. So if we can make it available for them, it will benefit for them. And also with regard to transition arrangement, I agree we should apply retrospective approach once they made a decision to apply practical relief. I think the benefit is that it can make sure the accounting policy they applied consistently, actually consistent within the company, and to avoid any confusion to the stakeholders, particularly to users. And also agree with that when they prepare, apply the retrospective approach to reduce the cost, simply just require them to make adjustment on the opening amount of the retained earnings when they first apply the amendment. So basically, I feel very comfortable with the proposals. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen Zhao. Bruce?
Thanks very much, Hans. I come from a bit of a unique perspective where when this first came out was before I was on the board, and we were on the other side applying this. And I will tell you from an application point of view, this was very welcomed, especially given this was a new standard at the time. And all the relief coming through would have created a lot of work for people in terms of what they had to do. So I'm very supportive of that. And I think one of the parts I'm really like about this is those requirements in 46B. We can't change those. I think the moment we start tinkering with those, we'd end up with a different play. So I'm very comfortable with staying with that. So overall, I support the staff's view to go forward with this. The only thing I had a question on was the date. And it sounds like I'm probably going to be in a minority. Whereas I'd be happy to support on the 30th of June, I just wonder if this isn't something that needs to be pushed out to 31 December. And the reason I say that is if I look at where we are now coming into February, this thing has still got a way to go. And when I look at some of the lease renegotiations I was involved in, they were stretching out quite a long way. And I appreciate this may take us another year into it. I'm just concerned that we could end up having a lot of people getting, given that they could potentially be on their second rounds of renegotiations, this could be going for another 12, 13, 14 months, and I just get worried. But I do appreciate that's a long way out. So I think December would definitely be too early. June is probably a compromise, but if you'd asked me cold, I probably would have said 31st of December. I just want to make a comment on Nick's comment. When I first read this, I interestingly started off with the same concern around, you know, we've got to be careful that the exemption doesn't become the norm. And I just think that, the message I think we should be giving people is barring something really tragic happening in the next year, that there's a sunset on this. And that is really what if we go ahead and put this out the way it's been proposed by the staff, that this is kind of where it's going to go. We can't get to a stage where this becomes the norm. Otherwise, it is going to be a bit of a challenge. The only thing I was going to say why I think that this will eventually no longer be much of a challenge going forward is what I have seen in speaking to a number of people is people who are starting to enter, or companies starting to enter into new leases, people starting to renegotiate leases at the moment, are now starting to actually put in clauses like pandemic clauses and putting in things where there's no access and that. So the practicality of what's happening in the legal agreements is now starting to mirror that there may be changes coming through in the actual agreements to deal with these type of situations. So let's hope we never need to deal with those again. But those are coming through. But I don't think Nick's comment is got no sympathy with me. I mean, I do think we've got to be careful of the norm. But I just think where we are right now, I'd probably more err on the side of supporting it.
Tadeo?
Thank you, Hans. I also support the staff recommendation. I think that 30 June 2022 is the right time. 31st December, I agree that we take the risk of coming back here for the third time to think about this amendment. And then 30 June seems to be a reasonable period. Beyond this one, I think that the concept that we have in IFRS 16 for modification makes more sense. I think that we are in an exception that has to be ring-fenced in terms of time, and I think that we are applying the right time. Just one clarification on paragraph 46. We have one sentence. I know that I'm taking this isolated, but just to clarify, saying that consequently, the amendment now being considered by the board is in effect not optional. Actually, just to clarify, it's not optional for those that have already applied the practical expedient. I mean, that in summary, this proposed amendment will not give the entities a chance to reassess their options. Once the option was made, the proposal for the extended period, that's 30 June, assuming 30 June 2022, must be considered. That's what I understood from this paragraph.
Yes, that is correct. So the practical expedient itself is optional. However, if a lessee has already decided to use it, then all we are changing is the date. So you change the availability of it, but the accounting policy choice to apply the practical expedient remains. So if a lessee has already made that choice, they effectively must apply any extended scope that the board decides on.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Tadeo. Rika.
Yes, I support the staff recommendation except for the date. I really think this should be the very last amendment regarding the this same COVID-19 related concession by all means, and we shouldn't redo this discussion again next year. I think I feel that providing the restriction in the period create the instability in applying the exemption in practice. That is not good for both preparers and users. I think a consistent application to the same arrangement in the same situation must be guaranteed. And I also wondering the fact that 144 or more jurisdictions now use IFRS, and then those jurisdictions should be equally and fairly treated with the benefit of this amendment. So I'm wondering, we might, if we have to set a date to restrict the application of this exemption, I'm wondering if we can push that to 31st December 2022, as Boris mentioned before. Other than that, I completely support staff recommendations. Thank you.
Anne?
Thanks, Hans. I support the staff recommendation for the reasons that people have already discussed, so I won't repeat. What I did want to talk about was this point that Tadiel raised about this, the fact that if an entity has already taken the option, the choice, then they're required to use the practical expedient now, which is what Catherine has reiterated. So in terms of question two that is going to be posed to us on page 17, I think question 2A needs to be worded to recognise that fact. So the recommendation isn't to require a lessee to do this, but the recommendation is for leases that have adopted the practical experience, the practical expedient, they are then required. So I think I would ask Catherine if we have to change that wording before we vote on it. Thank you.
Yes, I would agree with that. That's a fair comment.
Okay. Zach?
Thanks, Hans. So I think, like Nick, I'm going to struggle to support this one. And the rationale for me is that when I reviewed the materials that were provided to the board, I wasn't on the board at the time. The rationale for the amendment was clear, which is there was a large volume of concessions, and applying them in the first year of IFRS 16 was going to be too difficult to do in the time allowed. And now the rationale is concessions are still occurring. We have an 18-month period. If we go to December 30th, 2021, a 24-month period, if we go to June 30th, 2022, to apply those concessions, which seems to be very practical. So what it seems the rationale becomes is that the P&L impact is more favorable for the concessions under the amendment. And that seems to be the rationale for me. And users were very clear that they wanted it to be time delimited, and we're seeing that expand. I understand we got some user feedback, but I would not be surprised to see that a broader group of users would oppose this, because we already have accounting for lease modifications. What we're talking about is providing a practical expedient that gets around that and creates a more favorable P&L presentation of those same concessions. So I think I'll be interested in seeing what the feedback is. I'll stay open-minded. However, I think based on the feedback I've heard from users, they prefer comparability, they prefer consistent application, and they prefer good disclosure. And in looking at the disclosures I could to see what was there, I wasn't able to find much. I actually only found six companies. So if we're presenting an option, a practical expedient, and asking people to disclose the impact of that, I think I would want to see more. And I understand that we don't have the year-end financials yet, where we might see more. But we are making the decision in that light. So I'd ask people to consider that as well. Because if investors and users aren't allowed to see what the short-term impact of a change in accounting was, it's very hard for them to make a decision on whether it should continue for another short-term period.
Hans, is Mary coming in?
My internet is weak.
Okay.
Mary.
Thanks, Hans. It struck me as I listened to several comments, and I think most importantly, Zach's, that we need to remind people. I continue to support the staff recommendation, so I haven't listened in a way that changes my mind in the course of this discussion. But it's important to remind people as we are consulting and if we do move ahead to finalizing the context and objective for this, because I think there is a big risk that it's perceived as we're trying to capture the effects of COVID-19. And we're not. I think the reality, it's a pretty grim reality that there are going to be many years of consequential effects of COVID-19 on businesses, on organizations, long-term restructurings, changes in market, et cetera. We're not trying to capture things just because they're related to COVID-19. There was a more complex set of drivers. And Zach, it was good that Zach reminded us of some of the ones that we weren't reiterating right now, that led us to this decision. And that's one of the things that drives us to term limit the period covered by the concessions, because it really is trying to capture the immediate short-term effect and not the overall long-term reaction. So I just wanted to encourage us to maybe think about whether we could bring that out in, for example, some of the basis. Thank you.
Sue, you wanted to come back in?
Yeah, sure. I was going to make a brief comment on these transition questions and then just something on comparability. So on the transition, I tortured Catherine quite a bit yesterday with the transition and how it works and just making sure I understood it. And in the end, the thing that helped me to understand it was to realize that really what this amendment about is just making a tweak to an option which we introduced last year. So last year we said this is an option you decide to apply or not. So we now have got a population of IFRS companies who are either applying the amendment or they're not. The practical expedient or they're not. Now all we're saying is we're tweaking that practical expedient. So the knock-on of that is if you were previously applying it, you now need to apply it with this adjustment. And if you weren't previously applying it, you're still just not previously applying it. And I think if somehow in the basis we're able to explain that all that this is about is amending the old practical expedient, all of the things about transition are just much easier to understand. And I'd agree with Anne that we need to sort of tweak the wording in 2A and C to make it clear that we're talking about requiring a lessee who is applying the practical expedient to apply these things, blah, 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 blah. On comparability, I think maybe, and Nick and Zach are right to make us stop and think really hard about whether we're getting the balance right between what we're doing for preparers and what we're doing for investors. And we did do the First Amendment sort of cautiously trying to take that into account. One comparability aspect, though, that struck me when I was reading the paper, which I think is worth thinking about, is the fact that we're now also talking about comparability within a set of financial statements, in the sense that you can have one lessee who's adjusting leases as a result of the same pandemic that could have some leased concessions where they are using the election and others where they would not be able to. So within the same set of financial statements, you start to have comparability issues. And so I think that this helps sort of with intra-entity over time comparability, for me at least. Maybe Nick and Zach don't agree, but I think that aspect of comparability is also important to make clear in the basis. Thank you.
Zach, you wanted to come back in?
Yes, thank you. Just on the comparability for companies, I think it's important to remember that what the original amendment does is create a one-time, at the time the concession's granted, change. So as long as those concessions were granted last year, we would actually see no further effect or no large effects on the P&L that would be picked up. So what we would actually be doing is introducing another period of rental concessions. So meaning if concessions were granted prior to June 30th and we didn't extend, we would go back to traditional rental accounting, which would be comparable for the company. So in effect, my view is we would just be adding increased levels of non-comparable information that have to be adjusted in going to the concession. So I think that's a minor point, but that was my rationale in thinking through comparability. It's not just company to company. We talk about comparability within a company, but we'd just be introducing a distortion again for those concessions, right or wrong.
Okay. Catherine, I think we're ready to start the voting. Would you like to lead us through the questions?
Yes, I can do that. So if we start with question one, which is essentially the question about the date, does the board agree to extend the date in paragraph 46BB of IFRS 16 out to the 30th of June 2022?
Okay, let's see. Hands.
Ten.
Oh, I think I made it 11, Neely.
Oh, could be the case. Could we try one more time? Sorry. Oh, yes, you're right, Catherine.
Okay, moving on to question two then, and a couple of wording amendments here in line with suggestions from Anne and Sue. So first, A, with a wording amendment, does the board agree to require a lessee who is applying the practical expedient to apply for annual reporting periods beginning on or after 1st of April 2021?
Catherine, I see 12.
Yep.
Okay.
And then 2B, as written, essentially to permit early application. And then 2C, with the same wording amendment that we just inserted into A, so that the question becomes relevant to a lessee that applies the practical expedient, does the board agree that it should be allowed to apply the amendment retrospectively, sorry, required to apply the amendment retrospectively?
Eleven.
And then 2D, as written, does the board agree that to specify that in the reporting period in which a lessee first applies the amendment, it's not required to disclose the information in 28F of IAS 8, which is essentially the line-by-line comparison of old and new?
11.
Um, Okay. The remaining questions are on due process. One thing to mention before we vote on them is that you'll see in question three, and I mentioned it in the tee-up, that with regard to the recommendation of a 14-day comment period, that is something that the board does require trustee approval for. The trustees have actually said that if the board do vote for this, then they would approve the 14-day comment period. So you can take that approval as in place if you vote yes to this question. So question three is, does the board agree with a 14-day comment period for an exposure draft?
Okay. It looks like Hans's screen is frozen. Hans, can you hear us? No. Okay. Then I'm going to go with 12, one absent.
Okay. Okay, question four, is the board satisfied that it has complied with all applicable due process steps and that the staff can begin the balloting process for an exposure draft?
One absent.
And final question is, does any board member intend to dissent from the publication of that exposure draft?
I'm going to assume Hans's screen continues to be frozen, so that's just one.
Okay. Okay, and that then was all of the questions.
Okay, well, thank you very much. We'll assume that Hans is lost, so I'll step in. Thank you very much, particularly to Catherine and Petrina for all of the hard work getting this done on really, really short notice yet again, and, you know, going and getting us some early feedback as well, which added to your workload, and also thanks to the others who helped you with that. So well done, really good job. And actually, I just wanted to go back to something Zach mentioned earlier, the fact that we don't seem to see much in financial statements so far about the rent concessions arising from last year's amendment. I think maybe we should try and get in touch with a few people in the market just to remind them that it is important that investors can see that. You know, this isn't just about helping, you know, provide the relief for preparers, which is, of course, super important, but also that visibility was a really important consideration for investors when we agreed to that practical expedient last year. And so, you know, we will be looking for those disclosures and to remind people of that. So we'll do that as a separate exercise as well. Okay, thank you, everybody. That's it for today.